Had he described Hugh Shipley at all over the past 3 years? Approachable would not have been a word he'd ever have used. But one warm autumn night during his senior year, Ed Kantowitz found himself grabbing Hugh Shipley's arm in front of Lamont Library, the way he might otherwise grab a Budweiser at Cronin's. They were not friends. They'd spoken only in passing this year, and mostly after the Shakespeare seminar in which they were both enrolled. But Ed Kantowitz was not thinking of how Hugh Shipley might find him off-putting or offensive, because, as usual, Ed Kantowitz was thinking about himself. "Keep walking," muttered Ed, and that's what Hugh Shipley did. He walked as if he hadn't even noticed the interruption, didn't so much as slow the trajectory of his cigarette from hand to mouth. Ed watched the cigarette and the dry fallen leaves on the ground, anything not to turn around and stare at the girl. "Do me a favor, keep walking, and don't turn around. Do yourself a favor and just look straight ahead." Shipley nodded. "Might want to take your hand off my arm." And Ed released his grip before offering a crazed smile as an afterthought, if not an apology. He knew he had a menacing voice, not to mention truly dark stubble. He'd foregone his much-needed second shave of the day. And his husky voice and bulldog build lent him not only an unsavory but even vaguely criminal air. Ed usually alternated between being pleased by these qualities and ashamed, but at the moment he was so focused he didn't care what Shipley thought. The two young men walked down steps and past a stand of pine trees, kicking crab apples out of their path, and Ed talked. "This girl," he said, and Shipley nodded again. Ed didn't sound embarrassed, because he wasn't embarrassed. This, he believed, is what men did for one another, all kinds of men, he didn't care who. In the face of beautiful women, men were allied soldiers, at least until proven otherwise. "I can't stop staring at this girl, but I'm under no illusions that I don't need strategy. You? You don't know a thing about strategy, am I right? Because you don't need it. I need strategy. And make no mistake about it, strategy does work. But when I held open the door for that girl just then, I knew if I let myself do something about her, it would have been the wrong thing. I needed to save myself for myself, as they say. Listen, can you tell me if she's still there behind us? Petite girl, big eyes. She's actually kind of cross-eyed. Really, really, really nice knockers." Hugh Shipley looked slyly right behind them. He reported that he no longer saw the girl. Hadn't noticed she was cross-eyed. "Slightly," said Ed, stopping suddenly, short of breath. "Only if you look closely." "Well," said Hugh, "glad to help." He sounded sincere, but Ed knew he might have missed the sarcastic edge. It wouldn't have been the first time. Ed was not a nerd, no sir, but at this point in his college career, he had to acknowledge that he was, to put it kindly, an outsider. Being at ease around groups of other people, especially light-hearted other people, was not his strong suit. He'd barely spoken to Shipley in the 3 years they'd been classmates. They'd had no reason to speak. Ed was on scholarship and was a rigorous and nakedly ambitious student with a government concentration and a gift for statistics. He was preparing to write his senior thesis on how China would dominate the 21st century. Hugh, on the other hand, skipped classes, often smelled like whiskey, and was rumored to be working with a lapsed graduate student on some kind of anthropology film project. He towered over Ed at roughly 6'4", and he was, of course, a Shipley, which lent everything he did a kind of simultaneous legitimacy and scandal. He'd grown up in the famous Brookline home of Clarissa Cadence Shipley, a ubiquitous stop on any Historical Homes of Boston tour. Ed had no idea how he knew this. The family was exactly that famous. One simply knew these things. One also often saw Hugh carrying a camera tripod and wearing dungarees as if he were headed off to the African savannah instead of crossing the street between classes. But, and this was the salient point, there was nothing comical about him. He looked as if he might, in fact, be more comfortable amidst a pride of lions.